Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, folks. Glad to have you with us for a Tuesday edition of the Frozen Rope Report right here on the Braves Radio Network. I'm Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. And we've got lots to get to over the course of our show. Coming up, of course, we'll have a full rundown of what you may have missed from last night's action as the Braves fell 5-3 to the Marlins in 10 innings in their series opener here at Truist Park. We'll also get you set for game two of this four-game set. And, of course, we'll take you inside the clubhouse to hear from Brian Snitker, Waskari Noah, and Alex Jackson. Lots to get to, and by the way, we'll always do it every morning, a look at this date in baseball history as well. Hey folks, it's going to be 84 degrees here in Atlanta. It's finally here. Nice weather, a nice breeze. What more could you really ask for? Well, how about a nice SUV to make the most out of your adventures? Well, at Audi Atlanta, the savings are in full bloom. Right now, you can lease and get behind the wheel of a 2021 Audi Q7 for just $531 per month. A luxury and sporty SUV at a great price, and you can't beat it. Just imagine driving with the panoramic sunroof open, the windows down, in your new Q7. It's got the standard quattro all-wheel drive, room for seven, and ample cargo space. So spring into action. Take it for a test drive and let the good folks at Audi Atlanta treat you to a world-class car buying experience. Stop by their showroom on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter for a true VIP shopping experience, or if you prefer, shop from the comfort of home using the Jim Ellis Expressway. Visit AudiAtlanta.com to get started. Well, 5-3 was your final in 10 innings last night, as the Braves have now lost two games in a row. They're 4-6 on the young season. In a game that was started by Waskari Noah, and he was flat out dominant through six innings last night. One run, three hits, six innings, walked one, and punched out 10, threw 85 pitches, and we'll hear from Brian Snitker in just a little while about what he saw from Noah and the possibility of letting him go even deeper his next time around. And I wouldn't hate seeing it given what happened in the bullpen late meltdown in last night's contest. But Noah was really, really good. It was his 14th career game, his 7th career start. Those six innings, a career high. He allowed just three hits, one run, but was left with a no decision. Through three games and two starts this year, Noah has allowed just six hits with two walks over 12 innings. That's an 0.75 ERA. He has punched out 15 batters in 12 innings worth of work. That 0.75 ERA is fourth lowest in the National League among qualified pitchers. 10 strikeouts last night, again, a new career high. He became the 10th pitcher in franchise history with a 10-strikeout performance within his first 15 career starts, and the first since Max Fried struck out 11 Cardinals back in 2019. At the age of just 22 years, 319 days old, he became the youngest Braves starter with a double-digit strikeout game since Julio Teheran struck out 11 Colorado Rockies on August the 1st of 2013. Braves did not have an entire start last season by a starter with a 10-punch-out performance last year. Max Fried was the most recent to do it. That was on August 30th of 2019 against the White Sox. Again, he deserved better. He deserved a win last night. Unfortunately, it was a game that would be decided by the bullpen. In a very bizarre eighth inning, A.J. Minter just did not have it last night. Walked the first three batters he faced. That was it. He was done. Nate Jones would enter and give up a two-run double to Garrett Cooper. The Marlins capitalized on their opportunities last night. Plain and simple, the Braves did not. The Marlins would draw two more walks in that eighth inning. However, Jones would strand those runners on base as Miguel Rojas would fly out to center field. So it was a 3-3 game going into extra innings. But before we get to the extra innings, we got to talk about what happened in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was Riley, Jackson, Inciarte, and the pitcher spot in the order due up for the Braves. They were facing Adam Simber. And Simber did something that I don't think I've ever seen in a major league game before. He started the at-bat to Austin Riley. First pitch, plunked him. Second pitch he threw to Alex Jackson, then very next batter, plunked him. So Adam Simber has thrown two pitches, and the Braves have the winning run on base at second base, and Ender Inciarte coming to the plate. This is where things get frustrating, I think, if you're a Braves fan last night. Ender looks to bunt. Bunts foul. Ender looks to bunt again. Bunts foul. Ender for the third time looks to bunt, and he bunts right through it back to the screen. Well, as we know, that's a strikeout. Ender is out. Could not advance the winning run to third base, and that's just inexcusable in that spot. As I said this morning on Atlanta Braves Today on the front row, look, Ender doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities. He's not out there a whole lot. He did start last night's game, and he went 0-for-3 with a sacrifice, but he has to get that bunt down. There's no excuse. And it goes to show you why teams don't really bunt anymore, because guys can't do it. I'm old school. I think my dad would be proud of me for saying it, that I still have a lot of old school in me when it comes to how the game used to be played. But look, there's a reason that analytics tells you swing away in that spot these days, because you got a better chance of running into one and putting it in the seats or splitting a gap than guys do about getting a bunt down. And that was on full display last night. So frustrating there, I'm sure, for Braves fans. Eddie Adrianza, he would pop out as a pinch hitter. Ronald Acuna would walk to load the bases, but Ozzie Albies grounded out. The Braves left him loaded in that ninth inning. And then again, you go to the 10th inning, placed runner on second base. That was John Birdie. Starling Marte singled. Garrett Cooper delivered an RBI single. And Brian Anderson followed with an RBI double. It was 5-3 Marlins, and the Braves did nothing in the bottom of the 10th. With the heart of the order due up, mind you. They had the placed runner was Ozzie Albies. Freddie Freeman grounded out. Marcelo Ozuna struck out. And then Dansby Swanson grounded out. And that was your ballgame. 5-3. Marlins, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They left 9 on. Braves, 3 runs, 4 hits, no errors. They stranded 8. Yimi Garcia won it. He's 1-1. Jacob Webb took the loss in that 10th inning. He falls to 0-1, but he did not get hit hard in that inning. A couple of broken bat flares that just found holes, and that has been the story of the first week and a half of the season for this Braves pitching staff. Time of game, 3 hours, 45 minutes, and they did it in front of 11,830 here at Truist Park last night. The Braves dropped their 5th game this year in the opponent's final at-bat of the ballgame. Of course, the Braves were so good in final at-bat situations, but they're now 1-5 in those types of situations this year. Braves won 8 games in their last at-bat last year. That was tied for the second most in the National League and one off the Padres. Since Brian Snitker took over as manager back on May 17th of 2016, the Braves have 85 wins in their final at-bat, most in the majors. But again, they could not get anything going, whether it was in that bottom of the ninth or bottom of the 10th when they found themselves down by one. Of course, Acuna continues to do Ronald Acuna Jr. things. 3 more walks last night, a triple. He scored on a sac fly to the second baseman. It was a very, very heads-up play as Jazz Chisholm had his back to the infield. He was running out to catch a pop-up in the third inning. Acuna knew immediately he had a chance to score, and he did. Ozzie had a couple of sac flies in last night's ballgame, but again, the pitching let the Braves down last night. Luke Jackson was good in the 7th, but then again, the meltdown from the pen in the 8th, that really was the big turning point in the game and a reason why Waskari Noah has to settle for a no decision, but he was terrific. As far as Acuna is concerned, 3 more times on base last night with a triple and 2 walks, a stolen base, and 2 runs scored. That triple was Acuna's first of the season, his 10th extra base hit. 10 extra base hits for Ronald Acuna Jr., third most by a Braves player through 10 games of the season in franchise history, trailing only a couple of guys you may have heard of, Dale Murphy in 1985 and Hank Aaron in 1959. The franchise record for most extra base hits before May is 22. Acuna is almost halfway there. Ozzie Albies set that record. Acuna is on pace for 26 extra base hits this month. That, I think, should be good enough to garner Player of the Month honors. I guess the biggest surprise yesterday was that Ronald Acuna Jr. was not the National League Player of the Week. That honor went to Joe Musgrove of the Padres for his first no-hitter, first Padres no-hitter in franchise history. But again, I think probably should have been co-Player of the Week if I had a say. But as we know, I do not. So again, 5-3 is your final in last night's ballgame. And you turn the page, you move on, and get set for game number 2. And we'll tell you more about that matchup a little bit later on in our show. We'll step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Brian Snitker, Waskari Noah, and we'll hear from his battery mate, Alex Jackson, who got a chance to start last night. And of course, we'll take a look at this date in baseball history. Glad to have you with us on a Tuesday on the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Well, we are happy to have you with us for a Tuesday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. here on the Braves Radio Network. We're also happy to have our friends from DBAT Marietta along for the ride. Of course, they've become a friend of the show. And don't forget, folks, if you've got a son or a daughter in ball playing this spring, they've got camps, they've got lessons, they've got all kinds of great stuff coming up for you here at DBAT Marietta. So make sure you go visit them. Tell them the Frozen Rope Kevin McAlpin sent you, and they will take very, very good care of you. They've got batting cage rentals, lessons with our buddy Coach Charles. Max takes lessons from him every single week. They've got camps available for the upcoming summer session. They also have clinics as well. A great fully stocked pro shop, all kinds of great gear there. And make sure you check out their membership programs as well. We are members of DBAT Marietta. We love it. We can call them up and say, hey, we want to come take some swings in the cage, and they'll set aside a block of time for us to go over there. So they are doing a great job of also socially distancing everybody as well. So again, DBAT Marietta, make sure you go visit them. Tell them you heard about them on the Braves Radio Network podcast. They've got lessons available 7 days a week. So make sure you go check them out. And again, you can visit them online at dbatmarietta.com. All right, time now to take you inside the clubhouse. Let's hear from Brian Snitker, get his thoughts on what he saw from Waskari Noah, who was terrific last night, a weird night for the bullpen, and some missed opportunities. Here is the Braves skipper following last night's 5-3 loss.
You know, the fact that we play, you know, that same game every day, the one-run game, it's, you know, it forces you to use guys and identify guys. Luke did a really good job today. But it's if we're going to keep playing that game, then, which we do. I mean, these guys are never out of the game, and it seems like it's the same game every night, which is not a bad thing. But it, you know, then there's going to be some days like today where guys are off a little bit. Just the world of baseball.
What did you think of Enoa's performance, Nit?
Outstanding again. Again, I mean, he was really strong, and yeah, I can't say enough about it. It's just the way he goes at it, where he reached back for extra, it was there, and the breaking ball was really good, and it was solid. I mean, he was really, really good.
Snit, when we asked about him last week, you said you didn't see 98 and 99 during spring training. I think maybe even more impressive, not only having that stuff, but be able to get through 5 and 6 when he's really never been there before.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, the pitch count's good. I mean, it's doable. And, you know, next time I told him, it's like next time you probably can go 100. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of effort for him to throw the baseball. He doesn't labor. I mean, it's free and easy, and the knack of the breaking ball is really impressive. And, you know, he's come a long way in the last year, a long way. And, so, and it's good. He's because he's, like I say, he's a big, strong kid that is not scared. That's for darn sure. I mean, he got a, you know, he keeps a good pace in the game and slows the game down. And that stuff's real.
When you look at Webb's inning there, he gave up a few hits, but it wasn't a lot of solid hard contact.
No. And, you know, and Jacob's credit to Fence too. I mean, that's probably the first time he's had any competition since right before spring training ended. But you know, he kept it, you know, we start out with a guy on second. So we're, you know, a couple of hits away from tying that game. And, you know, he gets a broken bat or flare you know, so, I mean, a couple of them actually, I mean, so he did a good job of kind of maintaining that inning and keeping it manageable.
I mean, it's going to look like the bullpen had a rough night. They didn't have the greatest night, but, you know, at the same time, the offense has to take some accountability for not, you know, coming through in there in the ninth, I guess.
Well, yeah, and we're still kind of, you know, kind of grinding along here, trying to get that, you know, the offensive thing going. And it's going to, like I say, these guys, they've done it before. So it's rough when you're going through it, trying to get them going. But, you know, this thing will get off the ground here and start clicking and be fun to watch again.
Hit the 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. It's not something you saw a lot last year.
No, and I don't know that you could, you know, look at last year and think that it was going to be like that all the time. I mean, you'd like to think it was. I think we're capable of close to what we did last year once we get this thing going. But just sometimes it doesn't work that way. You just got to keep fighting through it and grinding through and keep going out there. And eventually, it'll, you know, if you handle tough situations, there's good on the other end of them always.
Snit, what about that at bat by Sandoval? Is that just another example he brings you guys?
Yeah, no, it's just got great at bat. You know, just missed a couple. And has a really, really good, you know, pro bat. I mean, the guy's he's been awesome in that role. Awesome in that role. You know, he stays ready and understands situations and is a very dangerous pinch hitter.
Certainly impressed with what we all saw from Waskari Noah, and I want to see more of it on a more frequent basis, and I want to see him go deeper into ballgames. He's still just 22 years old, but again, this stuff plays at this level. He's been really, really good. A run on 3 hits, 6 innings, walked 1, and struck out 10. And here was Waskari Noah following last night's dominant performance.
When you entered this season, I'm sure you thought you're capable of this, but did you think you'd end up in the rotation this soon, or did you think you'd be in the bullpen?
Bueno, que antes que empezó la temporada, que si tú te imaginaste estando en el bullpen o así empezando los juegos.
Bueno, me imaginé ayudando al equipo en lo que podía y cosas de Dios pasaron y estoy aquí en la rotación y eso, gracias a Dios, haciendo el trabajo, lo que se pide.
Really, I just imagined myself helping the team. That's really the only kind of expectation that I had. And, you know, things happen. And, you know, thankfully to God that I was able to kind of get this opportunity and be in the rotation. And so now it's just about continuing the work.
What has been the big difference with the strikeouts, with the big strikeout numbers today with 10? I think you doubled your previous high. What are you doing for that?
¿Qué has cambiado? O sea, que te ayudaba con los ponches. O sea, obviamente ponchaste a 10 bateadores hoy. Así que, ¿cuál ha sido la diferencia más grande y importante que te ha ayudado en eso?
Lo que me ha ayudado más en eso es poder atacar a los bateadores. Siempre estar encima de ellos con el primer detrás, ya que cuando puedo lograr eso, puedo poder sacarlo del paso rápido y eso, pero cuando estoy abajo en el conteo, es más difícil.
I think it's been just my mentality as far as attacking the hitters, you know, I think as soon as I kind of go up in the count, obviously I had that advantage and I've been able to put them away. But when I get behind on the count, you know, it's obviously more of a challenge. So I think attacking the hitters is what I would attest that to.
You had an idea probably that you could touch 100, but did you think you could get 82 pitches in and be averaging 97?
Bueno, okay, obviamente, pues, tú te conoces y tú sabes que tiene la capacidad de pichar a 100 millas por hora, pero que si te imaginaste así, de tener tantos lanzamientos en un juego así y todavía seguir pichando 97, 98, así tan duro.
Bueno, sí, me lo imaginé porque ahora mismo me siento mucho mejor físicamente y eso, y más fuerte, más confiado, y solo salgo ahí a tratar de dar lo mejor de mí.
I mean, yeah, I think you know, in my mind, I could see it and I could imagine it just because right now I'm feeling really good physically, mentally, and I feel like I'm kind of carrying some confidence in there as well. So I feel like I just continue to work and I kind of be able to go out there and execute.
What did he think about the job that Alex Jackson did behind the plate?
Cuéntanos cómo te impresionó Alex Jackson así como este receptor.
Me impresiona mucho, pues ya que tenemos muy buena comunicación y eso, siempre tratamos de estar siempre en la misma página en todo, y esa es una cosa muy buena.
I mean, he continues to impress me a lot. Fortunately for us, you know, I think we have a really good communication between the two of us, and I think that obviously is extremely helpful for, you know, for us, and yeah, I mean, it's just great to have him back there and to be able to communicate and kind of have that going.
From Waskari Noah to his battery mate, Alex Jackson, a rare start behind the plate for Jackson last night to give Travis d'Arnaud a breather. Jackson hit by a pitch in the second, reached on a fielder's choice in the fourth, singled in the seventh, and was hit by another pitch in the ninth. Tough night at the office for Alex Jackson. Go in there and get hit by 2 pitches in one game, but that's what happened for him last night. Let's hear from Alex Jackson and get his thoughts on just how far Noah has come here in this last calendar year.
Alex, you've seen Noah for a few years. What's the biggest difference with him right now?
You know what? His confidence is outstanding. I mean, when he gets on the bump, you know, his confidence in his pitches, you know, in his delivery and everything is just unreal. And, you know, it really shows in his performances.
You're not going to find too many starters that can have a slider like that and touch 100 and stay at 98, you know, 80 to 90 pitches. To see that kind of guy that could take his game to another level and be a frontline type starter.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's unbelievably talented. I mean, this stuff is unreal, you know, as everyone has seen. You know, I think the biggest thing for him was, you know, the confidence part. And he's learned how to start building that all together, you know, in a whole picture. And, you know, it's, you're really seeing what he is as a player. And, I mean, as a person, he's an unbelievable guy. You know, he's always making you smile. You know, you're always having a good time out there with him. And he's a competitor, and that's all you can ask for.
What do you think Minter was dealing with tonight? Is it just one of those nights? Did he say there was anything bothering him in particular?
You know what? I haven't spoke with him, you know, about anything, but, you know, I think he looked good. You know, it just sometimes stuff doesn't go your way, and, you know, it's how you battle back from that. So, you know, he'll be out there again soon. And, you know, I know he's going to be bringing his best stuff, you know, and he's always giving it his all out there.
Alex, what have these past like 12 or so days been like for you, and how closely have you been studying Travis?
Oh, you know what? I mean, we do everything together. I mean, you know, Travis, myself, you know, Sal, and, you know, everything we do is, you know, as a group, and, you know, we're always learning off each other. We're always bouncing new ideas off of each other. And, you know, it really helps us grow as players, you know, as people. And, you know, it shows, you know, and that's all you can ask for.
So we appreciate Brian Snitker, Waskari Noah, of course, Franco Garcia translating, and his battery mate, Alex Jackson, as well. Time now to take a look at this date in baseball history. It was on this date, April the 13th of 1921. Warren Harding, a big-time baseball fan, throws out the first pitch at Griffith Stadium in Washington. The home team would go on to lose by a score of 6-3. It's this first time in six opening day contests the Senators have lost with the President of the United States throwing out the first pitch. They were a good luck charm there, and obviously it didn't work out on this date in 1921. Speaking of Washington, it was on this date in 1926 on opening day. 38-year-old right-hander Walter Johnson struck out a dozen A's batters when he goes out there for 15 innings, beating Philadelphia by a score of 1-0. It was the second-to-last season in the big leagues for the big train. He would finish with a 15-16 record with a 3.63 ERA on the year. All right, it was also on this date in 1954, Willie Mays, who missed nearly two seasons due to military service, homers in his first game back, a sixth inning home run that would prove to be the difference in the Giants' 4-3 win over Brooklyn on opening day. The 22-year-old center fielder's poke at the Polo Grounds might have traveled over 600 feet if the upper left field stands had not impeded the ball. I always love when they do the could have traveled thing back in the day, especially when they didn't have a way to track it. But on this date, Willie Mays goes yard on opening day. All right, a couple of more for you here. It was on this date in 1978 in New York's opening day 4-2 win over Chicago. Reggie Jackson hits a three-run homer in the first inning, his fourth consecutive home run at Yankee Stadium after going deep three times in last year's Fall Classic finale. The game becomes delayed when the crowd celebrates by showering the field with Reggie bars, a chocolate and peanut butter candy bar with a picture of the slugger swinging a bat that was handed out to every fan entering the stand. So they all threw the candy on the field, and they had to have a brief delay after he homered once again. All right, it was on this date, one more for you, on this date, April the 13th of 1984. On the same date, he got his first major league hit 21 years earlier. Pete Rose, as a member of the Expos, doubles off of Jerry Kuzman for his 4,000th career hit, becoming the first player in the National League to reach that milestone. Montreal beats Philadelphia on the Friday the 13th contest at Olympic Stadium by a score of 5-1. Of course, Rose would finish his career with 4,256 base hits. Well, that's going to do it for our show here today. We appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe if you have not done so already. Also, don't forget to check out Chris Domino and I's daily pregame coverage on the pregame show, we're calling it. And you can enjoy that as well as we get you set for all the action of the next coming game. Tonight, of course, it's the Marlins and the Braves. 5-3 was your final last night. Braves will give the ball to Max Fried tonight. He'll be taking on Pablo Lopez. We'll be on the air at 6:50 p.m. Eastern with the 6:05 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry, with the Ford leadoff show. And then first pitch tonight, 7:20, Fried and Lopez. Jim Powell and Joe Simpson will have all the action for you right here on the Braves Radio Network. And again, a big thanks to DBAT for bringing you today's show once again. DBATMarietta.com is where you can get all the info. Camps, clinics, lessons, you name it, cage time, anything you need, they'll take really good care of you at DBAT Marietta. Folks, enjoy your Tuesday. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to talking to you tonight, 6:05, as Chris Domino and I bring you the Ford Leadoff Show on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.